Welcome to Perspective Transformation with Marty and Friends. Whether you're looking for encouragement, practical training, or clear focus, you'll want to grab a notebook, as today's guest trainer shares rock-solid strategies you can implement starting immediately. Sponsored by WomenSpeakers.com, here's your host, Marnie Swedberg.
Welcome, welcome. This is Marnie. I'm so excited to have you with us today, along with our guest, Laura Acuna. We're going to be talking about still becoming help, hope, and healing for the diet-weary soul. So maybe this applies to you, or maybe you have someone near and dear to you in your life that really struggles, and this is just such a great time to get some perspective, kind of a new look at this. We're going to talk today with Laura about how she had gained 100 pounds as an 11-year-old and was finally set free 50 years later. We're going to talk about how to rethink your thinking regarding food, body image, and dieting. The surprising truth that you can be free from food and body image issues even before you lose any weight. Why so many women struggle with body image and dieting related strongholds, and the number one first step toward freedom. Also, the importance of learning how to show up as your true female self and become comfortable in your own skin. How to walk away from what has never worked and embrace something new. Why rejecting shame in all its forms is crucial for healing and peace. The importance of stopping legalism and embracing grace. And also our culture's negative view of a woman's aging body and how as Christians we can resist falling for this toxic and impossible standard. Our guest today is Laura Acuna. She's a speaker, author, Bible teacher, coach, and host of Still Becoming podcast. She's served as a woman's ministry leader for 22 years. She's a graduate of Liberty University. She's earned a degree in Christian counseling and a minor in biblical studies. She's the co-founder of Sisters in Faith Ministries, a nonprofit ministry to women. You can learn more about her over at her website, laura-acuna.com, and also invite her to speak at an upcoming event that you might be hosting over at womenspeakers.com. And I'm just so excited to welcome you today, Laura. Welcome.
Thank you, Marty. I'm so glad to be here.
Well, and this is, of course, a topic that is so needed in our culture, in our day, in our time. I think probably everybody listening either has, will, or knows someone who has or does struggle with body image issues. And so I want to just start with your story just real briefly, because it gives a little background and a little credibility for you being the one to talk to us about this.
Okay, well, my story began when I was 11 years old. I entered the seventh grade at 5 feet tall and about 100 pounds, perfectly normal size for a girl my age. But when I left junior high school only 2 years later, I gained over 100 pounds and I'd only grown maybe an inch or two. And so I described it even then as like it was like a bomb went off and everything changed in my life. And it set in motion a number of consequences. And one of them was the dieting roller coaster that went on for 50 years. And it's so toxic and it's so damaging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so was there like a medical diagnosis that went along with your weight gain, or it was more of an emotional change that happened there?
We never knew. You know, okay. My mother took me to the doctor and, you know, they couldn't find anything wrong. But, you know, back then it was 1970. It was the dark ages, I like to say. And doctors didn't know much about disordered eating. They knew about anorexia and bulimia. I wasn't doing either one of those things. I was overeating. And they also didn't know about anxiety and depression and good old ADD. The way we do today. So I believe, after doing a lot of work in my later years now, I believe all those things came into play back then.
Yeah, I can remember in a 6 week period of time gaining 20 pounds in 6 weeks, and I wasn't pregnant. There was no, you know, there was no reason except I was just eating more than my body could burn. And it is really, it's quite possible to add a lot of weight very quickly if something shifts in the mental processing of the environment. It's just like, wow, it can come on fast, and it does not come off as fast as it comes on.
Never. And it rarely stays off when we take it off the wrong way.
Yeah. So true. So you talk about rethinking that we need to kind of step back a bit and rethink this food, body image, dieting thing. So just tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I got to a tipping point about 7 years ago where I just had it. I just had it with the gaining and losing. There was so much shame with that.
Yeah, so painful.
So much shame. You know, you're calculating who has seen me last. Was I skinny or was I overweight? What do I weigh now? You know, what was I wearing? I mean, it takes so much of your brain power and so much of your time. It steals your joy. So I came to the end of that. I had two significant deaths in my life and within 3 months of each other, my mother and my best friend.
Wow.
And that grief and that trauma, again, because both were very sudden, pushed me into a place where I couldn't stuff it anymore. I could not do it. It was too much for me. And so I was literally, I feel, just pushed into finally surrendering to God and going for help for my specific issues, which I thought at the time was disordered eating. But I found out later when I got to the therapist's office that I also needed to be treated for trauma and for intense grief.
Yeah.
So all of that together is how this book was birthed.
Yeah. So you just did yesterday your new book, same title as this program, Still Becoming, just was released yesterday. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
I know that was just a labor of love.
It is.
Yeah. So much work goes into writing a book. For those of you who haven't done it, it's really quite a process, and even releasing it is a process. But you guys can definitely dig deeper with that book after today. Real quick before we go on, in our conversation here, is the book set up like a workbook, or is it mostly you just read it cover to cover, or how is it set up?
It's a 31-day devotional. And every day I tackle a certain topic, certain aspect of healing from body image, disordered eating, and an unhealthy relationship with food. However, I will just say quickly, the book covers many other things because it's really not about food. It's really about what we think and what's going on between our ears. So there's a lot in there about beauty and aging and showing up as our true selves and God's creation of us as female. So it's a 31-day devotional. And then at the end of every day, there's a soul fitness exercise, which is a journaling prompt. And then there's a prayer.
Okay, cool. Cool. Again, you guys, it's available now from Amazon or any major bookseller, Still Becoming. And the rest of that title, help me out. Help.
Hope, help, and healing for the diet-weary soul.
Thank you. Good. Okay. Well, as we continue, you say that you can get a lot of freedom even before you lose a pound, but in our thinking, it's all related to losing the pounds, right? So what are you talking about?
So I always believed that skinny equaled freedom and freedom equaled skinny. So there was no way I was going to be free until I hit that magic number, whatever that was. And what I found as I walked along the healing path with an excellent therapist and with the Lord, with applying to his word to my life for growth and change, what I realized was I was healing. And I was suddenly not turning to food anymore to cope with stress or emotions or anxiety. I realized it was really glaringly obvious to me during COVID when I had ample reason to turn to food for everything that was going on, including not seeing my children for a year. But I didn't do it. I didn't do it. I had new tools and new coping mechanisms that were healthy and appropriate for a grown woman.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I hadn't lost a pound.
Wow.
Shocking.
It is shocking. It is shocking. So why do you think so many women struggle with this?
Oh, my. Well, in the spiritual realm, which of course is everything, I believe it's the enemy's, you know, most effective way to keep God's beautiful female creation in the corner, sideline, sidetracked, thinking about other things than they need to be thinking about, worrying about things they shouldn't be worrying about, believing they're not enough, they're not good enough, they're not beautiful enough, they're defective. The shame comes from him. And then our culture has just picked it up and run with it. It's hard to escape it.
So what's a first step out of that then?
For me, the first step was replacing the lies with the truth from God's word. That was the most, you know, practical thing that I started doing immediately. And having accountability with your sisters in safe Bible studies and just surrounding yourself with healthy people that can help you along, that iron sharpens iron thing. For me, it did include an excellent therapist, a dietitian. I mean, it took a village, you know, it really did, but it was so worth it.
Worth it. Right.
Yes. So the shame has to go, because shame is debilitating and insidious, and it's hard. It's just hard to move forward if we're just covered in shame.
Right.
So it has to go. It has to be lifted.
Yeah. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in a couple of minutes, but what do you talk about when you say your true female self? Clearly we're girls, you and I, but you're talking about something almost like something deep here.
Yes. Yes, I am. And I'm passionate about it. I tell a little kind of silly story in the book, and I'm not sure if it's every woman's story, but when I was growing up and I worked in an elementary school and the middle school and high school through my career, and I interacted with male principals and male teachers and of course pastors, and I was always told, now Laura, when you get in a meeting with a man, he can't be emotional. He doesn't want a lot of words. He wants it short, sweet, and direct. Get in there, have your say, and get out of there. And as a very emotional and touchy-feely female, that was hard. I thought, I can't be me. And I received that message in various ways over and over again. Don't cry. Don't, you know, all these messages. So, no, we're not supposed to show up as crying, blubbering little girls, right, in our meetings and places like that we interact. But we're female. And our femaleness was created by God at creation. The word for helpmeet or helper in Genesis 2, where God says everything is good and then something's not. And the thing that's not good is there's no woman here on earth. And so he creates us. And the word helpmeet or helper is the word ezer in Hebrew, or azer, depending on how you pronounce it. And it means rescuing strong power. That's who we are. We don't have to be girly girls. We can be tomboys. We can be girls that like makeup, don't like makeup. That doesn't matter. But we've been made female, and we should be able to show up as we are. Jesus never told a single woman to come back later when she pulled herself together. He never did that. Not one time.
Right, right, right. And he spoke truth to women.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, he did. But he loved them, and he didn't say, okay, walk back out that door, and you can come back and anoint my feet with your oil and your tears and your perfume when you are not crying. Yeah. Or when you are not upset, you know.
Right. Yeah. And it was such a radical moment for me when I realized that in John, the Holy Spirit is called the helper with that same word.
Yes.
Like
yes.
God himself is that. My helper, in the same way he's asking me to then flow through that to other people. You know, exactly. It's not a demeaning thing to be called a helper in that context.
No.
Not at
it
all.
It is an honor to be a female. It is an honor.
Yeah.
And we should not be shamed for being who we are.
Right. I really love this next point we're going to talk about, is to look at what hasn't been working. And I too have just in the past few years really stopped. I really got off of the crash binge cycle that I had been just doing faithfully, as often as I could, actually, for decades, you know. And I had one coach said to me, the reason you're so big is because you've worked so hard at this.
Probably so.
Because every time you crash diet, then you gain more. Next, when he comes back, you gain more. And it is just something that doesn't work long term.
No, I have a friend who says to me sometimes, and I have said it so many times over the years, so I'm not dissing her. I'm just saying this was me. You know, the only diet that really works for me is this. And then I'm saying to myself, but I gain it back every time, but you gain it back every time. How can we say it works? If any other product that we purchase had that failure rate, we wouldn't buy it again.
We would keep
going back. It only works if you keep the weight off and you don't have to starve yourself or make yourself insane to keep going. Because that's not peace. That is not peace, and that is not freedom.
It's a different kind of bondage.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And I know the first year that I worked with my coach, I would say, I can't do it this way. It is too slow. I can't do it this way. I have to now make some progress. And he would always just say, progress toward what? Because the lie is the crash diet and losing several pounds right now real quickly is what I really want. But that's not what I really want. What I really want is to keep any pounds I lose off.
Exactly. He's a wise man. He's a wise guy. I like him.
I mean, that's so ingrained into our heads.
Quick fixes. Quick
fixes. That's what all the magazine covers are. And, you know, I mean,
yep.
You know, and even I'd say more than magazine covers, Laura, I think it's what's just been ingrained into our heads since we were little girls. This is what you do.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, this is nothing new. Yeah. My grandmother ate these things called AIDS. They were little chewy caramels.
Yeah.
And then there was Metrical. They would drink that stuff out of a tin can. It was it tasted terrible. But we've learned this from everywhere.
We come by it honestly.
We do. But it's time to stop.
We're trying to be self-destructive, but it is time to look at it and to reanalyze it and say, well, whatever. We're circling back around now to talk about shame again for a little bit, because shame is really, I'm going to just say it is the tool of the enemy of your soul that keeps you shut up. And that's what I just think. It keeps your soul shut up, but it keeps your mouth shut up. It keeps you from actually being who God created you to be. Shame is the big silencer.
That's a great way to put it. Sideline, sidetracked, and shut up.
Shut down. You
shut down.
You have no place here.
I revisit shame several times in the book because it is the most insidious thing.
It is.
And for me, for so many years, I believed that voice was God's.
I did.
I believed that he was shaming me. Mm. And finally, as I replaced his word for the lies, I started to listen to the voice of my Savior, and it was kind and it was gentle and it was loving.
Right.
Jesus doesn't look at me and say, glutton. He really doesn't. He doesn't. He says, daughter, I love you and you're suffering. Give it to me. Give it to me.
Right. He's all about healing and restoration, whereas shame is all about pain and suffering.
Yes. And staying in it.
And staying in it.
Yes.
Be sure absolutely. To stay there. Yeah. Absolutely. The fetal position. I mean, that's the enemy's real goal for us, is that we just curl up in a ball and don't do anything. Don't say anything. Don't be a light. Don't tell Jesus people about Jesus. Be sure don't let your light shine.
That's right.
I remember it wasn't all that long ago that I heard a really cool distinction between conviction, which is coming from God, a prompt to make a change, versus condemnation, which is if you're a believer in Christ, there's no condemnation for you. Shame just is never coming from God. Right. And so it was Adam Young, who has his podcast is, I think, The Place We Find Ourselves. He's a counselor. And he went now full time into this podcast, which is very good. If you guys ever want to catch another one, that's such a great podcast. But he talked about the difference between condemnation and conviction. He said condemnation, which comes from the enemy and is intended to shut you down, is going to use terms like you're such a loser. You always do that. There's no hope for you. Why are you such an idiot? It's things like that condemnation says. Now, conviction, which is from God, intended to build you up, to free you. Conviction comes so differently. And I don't know how it is for you, Laura, but for me, it comes very gently. I am aware, wow, I don't want to do that anymore. That's how it comes for me. I just see it in a different way. And not only that, but there's like the ability to move forward with stepping out of it. But the conviction that comes from the Holy Spirit is specific. When you said that, that hurt her heart. When you did that, it hurt you. You know, like that. It's very specific. And there's something you can do about it. It's like not this whole loser, you know, thing that's completely, it's completely debilitating. Because what are you going to do about that? If I'm a loser, it's hopeless.
And I feel like as I'm listening to you, I feel drawn to God, not pushed away, not like I want to hide and shame, right? Absolutely. I want to go closer to that warmth, that loving voice, that gentle correction.
Right.
Because he wants what's best for me.
And I think one of the things that really helped me to appreciate how God's conviction is so different from condemnation is the story of David, King David in the Old Testament, and how God specifically addressed him about a couple issues in his life. But God really didn't bring up most of the things he was doing wrong. God didn't bring up that he had so many wives. He didn't bring up that he was a terrible father. He didn't bring up any of there were a bunch of stuff God never even talked to him about. And we are so broken. If God were to actually highlight and focus his attention on all of our flaws and failures, we would be crushed. We would not be able to breathe. Our willingness to say, I am really way more broken than I know I am, you know, that I'm even aware of, and that God loves me in all of this that I know about and all that I don't know about. He loves me. Jesus died for me. He rose for me. He, Holy Spirit lives in me. And because of that, I go forward, not because I'm so great.
Amen. Amen. In the book, I make a similar distinction. I really like the one you just read, though. I'm going to look that up. Yeah. That shame says you are a mistake, where healthy guilt coming from the Holy Spirit, conviction says you've made a mistake.
You've made a mistake.
You made
such
a mistake.
A difference.
Shame is you are a mistake. Yeah.
And then I want to just expand on this just a little bit longer too, before we, because this is such a big one. It's so crushing. The other thing that you can know is when someone is in your life and they are verbalizing to you that you are a mistake, that you are broken, that you are bad, that you are unsalvageable, that you are a loser, whatever, you can know for sure that they have not personally experienced the grace of God to a level that would allow them to extend that to you. The reason they are being abusive to you in this way is because they are abused in their own soul, whether it's coming in from their own thoughts, from enemy thoughts, or from someone else or their history. The reason they're being abusive to you is because they're broken, not because it's true. Don't believe that just because somebody says something like that to you, it means they're true. It's not, it doesn't mean it's true. It means that they are wrong.
And women, you know, I've led women's Bible studies, women's ministry leader for over 20 years. And I learned very quickly that women can be told those things by a parent, by a teacher, by a coach, by a grandparent, whoever, neighbor, when they were 11.
Right.
And they're 50 years old in the Bible study, and now they're just saying it to themselves. They just pick it up and say it to themselves.
Exactly.
And I've done the same thing.
Broken records. Yeah.
Broken records.
Just going around. So yeah, we're just here to encourage you that if people have been telling you that, if you've been telling yourself that, or if the enemy is whispering that to you, it is not true. You are beautiful. You are loved. You are so valuable to God, so valuable that he would send his only son to die for you. He loves you, and he is not focused on your weaknesses at all. One of my favorite experiences as an adult was to go on, we went on a tour of an amethyst mine, and we were up in Canada, and it was, the amethyst is a beautiful purple gemstone, but it's quite encased in ugly rock. It doesn't come out just beautiful purple gemstone. It's quite a process. Well, we went on this tour of this amethyst mine, and as we are coming down the, mucky walk to get down to the wall. I'm looking at this wall of rock ahead of me, and I don't see any purple anywhere. And I'm like, I wonder if we're going to go inside of it or what. And the tour guide stops us. He's the amethyst miner. And he says, here's a wall, and this wall is just full of amethyst. And Laura, I'm looking and I'm looking and I'm seeing no purple. And I'm like, well, if you say so, you know. And then he says, this section of wall here that you can see down to the end down there, it's going to take us about 70 years to mine this section of wall. And I'm like, 70 years? That's like how long a person lives. That's a long time. And he says, we can't use jackhammers or any kind of high power drills because it would damage the rock. So the only thing we can use is a high powered water gun. And I thought, like, the water of the word. And isn't that how we are? And what was amazing to me was what he didn't say. He didn't say that stupid amethyst to get itself all stuck in this wall.
Yeah.
He was just like God. He's like, God knows we are encased in crud, just in yucky stone that we cannot free ourselves from. And if he were to do it all at once, it would kill us. It would be like jackhammers and just too harsh on us. It would damage us. So he does it gently over time. And we don't like this process, but it is a beautiful process. And he's in it for the long haul. And he is not upset with you for being encased in crud. He loves you. He gets up just like the amethyst miner every morning, like, let's go to work again today.
I love that analogy. It reminds me of a quote by, I'm not going to be able to quote it exactly, but Peter Scazzaro, in one of his books on emotionally healthy spirituality, he calls God a divine archaeologist. And I actually quote him in my book. And he says, you know, he just goes gently with his little picks and little brushes like archaeologists do, taking care not to injure the treasure that's there.
That is you.
And then he brings it out into the light and he washes it clean. And then we learn a beautiful story about the treasure and about the divine archaeologist. I love it, but it takes time.
It does. And you have
diets don't promise that. Diets are the opposite.
Right, right. Several years ago, God had me look at the word diet for a moment. And he said, if you'll dissect this word, what you'll see is the word die, but there's a cross at the end of it. Oh. I died for you. You don't have to do this anymore.
I like, love that. And you don't. And I don't. Right.
Thank you,
don't.
Jesus.
Who's listening? Yes, you don't.
Okay. We talked a little bit about legalism and embracing grace. Did you have anything else you wanted to mention on that one?
I would just say that grace truly is amazing. It's healing. And self-compassion, looking at ourselves with curiosity instead of condemnation, self-condemnation is key. Yeah. We say if we overeat, you know, on Christmas Eve, we don't get up Christmas morning and say we're going to starve ourselves. They say, wow, I ate a lot last night. I don't think I want to do that today. So we eat normally. We don't starve ourselves the next day. Yeah. That's grace. That's might have to ask yourself a question. Why did I eat so much? Was I upset? Was I excited? What was going on? And just let it go. Right. Learn from it and move on.
Yeah. Yeah, grace is so profound. It is just so profound and so freeing.
So hard to receive and so hard to give sometimes.
It is.
But as you've said, once we've received it, then we're compelled to give it out to other people.
Well, and we're equipped to give it out. If we have never received it, we can't give it. If I don't have the $1 million you need for a project, I can't invest in your project. I mean, I got to have it before I can give it. Same with love, same with grace, same with everything here. So as you are working to allow God to heal you, what he's doing is he's equipping you to serve others at the same time. It's not just for you. It's for everybody. And, you know, Laura, I mean, 50 years is a long time to be 100 pounds overweight and to be fighting that battle, you know?
Yes. Lose it, gain it.
But now you have a story and you can help so many. And along the way, he was using you where you were to help so many in different ways, you know, and that's how he works. Don't have to have it all together.
No, not perfect.
Okay. All right. Aging bodies, toxic perspectives. What do you do when you have thoughts like, oh, this is not okay?
Well, I just said it's not perfect. So let me just, it's not perfect. Mm-hmm. I'm 64. And so I battle this constantly, you know, having to look in the mirror and the things that used to work don't work anymore. And the things that were up or down and, you know, there's wrinkles and everything else that comes with it. But I have determined through this whole process that, you know, I'm grateful to be here. I'm grateful to live to be a grandmother and to have my wonderful husband for 39 years. And I just don't want to spend my later years trying to hang on to something that I can't keep. Right. I'm growing older.
Yeah.
I am. It's inevitable. I mean, I love makeup. I love my earrings. I love having my hair done. I love all that. I'm very girly. But I'm 64 years old. And I need to be sane enough to embrace, you know, where I'm at, soften the edges as I can, and live my true self and live my real life. Again, you will become so preoccupied with your beauty and your aging that there will be no peace.
Right.
It's a losing situation.
Right.
It is. You live in if that's what you want.
Right. You live in the present. It's the gift of the present, and you don't get to go back and get it.
Well, the Proverbs 31 woman, you know, I love when it says she is clothed with strength and dignity and she laughs without fear of the future. Mm-hmm. And I heard someone else teach on this one time, and they said, this sister is not afraid of what's coming.
Right.
Because that laugh is a mocking laugh in the original language. So she's saying, bring it on. Bring it on. I'm ready for you. And I also interpret that to mean that she's not clinging to what was.
Right.
She's going where God's leading her.
Right.
And if he has years for us to go, then we're going to go and we're going to serve him until he takes us home.
Yeah. 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 I think to sum this up, if I could leave you guys with one thought here, it's to be kind to you with the same kindness that God is extending to you. Because as you extend that kindness to yourself, you'll be able to receive his. That's the first step. A lot of people feel like I'm not worthy of God's love or whatever. And you have to start by saying, actually, I'm going to open myself up to that. I am going to agree with how he describes me in the Bible. And there are so many things that describe you as a child of the king, as the daughter. I say the princess bride of the king of the universe. You know what I mean? It's like we are so many things that God promises that we are. And to speak truth to yourself instead of continuing with the lies. And then what's going to happen is as you receive this healing and this freedom in yourself, you'll be able to share it more freely. And this is going to radically change every aspect of your life. This is not all about weight at all. It's like, that is the big lie.
That is the big lie. Yeah. That is the big lie. Mm. Absolutely. And our healing isn't for us. I mean, we benefit from it, but it's for them.
Yeah.
It's for the people watching you, who want to know whether or not this Jesus is real and whether he really does heal people and whether they can live in freedom for real.
Yeah.
You can.
Yeah.
You can have joy in your life. It's never perfect.
Yeah.
It's never perfect. He doesn't promise us that. He promises us it won't be.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah. Some trouble.
But he's with us.
Yeah. Right. Oh, I just love that. And I love you. I love your ministry. I love what God's got you doing in the world. You guys want to be sure to check out the new book, Still Becoming, Hope, Help, and Healing for the Diet Weary Soul. And then be sure to go check out Laura's website, which is laura-acuna.com. When they get over there, Laura, what are they going to find?
Well, they're going to find my book. They're going to find a study guide that I've developed for us, a book study that goes 6 weeks to accompany the book. I've been hearing from several women's ministry leaders, that's my world, that they'd like to do a study with the book. So we developed that. Right. You'll find information on how to book me as a speaker. But of course, we want you to go to ChristianSpeakers.com to Marnie, because I have benefited greatly from Marnie's excellent ministry over the years. And you'll find a playlist with healing songs to accompany you on the Still Becoming journey. Nice. And there's a free gift if you subscribe to my newsletter, things like that.
Oh, that's so great. So don't miss out on this, you guys. Laura-acuna.com or Still Becoming, the new book that's available right now from Amazon or any bookseller. Thank you, Laura, for being here. Just love you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. I loved meeting you. Couple weeks ago.
I know, in person, right? Yeah.
I know. I feel like you know each other, but then, you know, it was great.
I know. I think we've probably known each other online maybe a decade or something.
I know.
It's fun to just hug in person. So that was so fun. And you guys, just so grateful to have you here too. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. Be sure to check out Laura's website as well as womenspeakers.com. And I'll see you around at mine at marnie.com. Thanks. Have a great day. Bye-bye.